Today's scripture reading comes from the book of John, chapter 14, verses 1 to 6. If you'd like to follow around on your own book, it's page 1067. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.
You'll have to excuse me this morning for sitting down. This past week, I've been suffering from some lower back spasms. I think I kind of overdid it last week for the Jung Project. And since the topic is on truth, I want to tell the truth, because I was lifting a lot of bags of rice on a couple of Thursdays ago, and then a couple of Fridays ago, helping lift big, heavy boxes of meat. And I wish I could just say it was my age that, you know, is causing my lower back problems, but to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, there are folks who are my age and older doing just as much heavy lifting, if not more heavy lifting, and they're fine. So the truth is, I'm just not in very good shape, so that's the truth. But unfortunately, these back spasms made it difficult to stand or walk. It's actually getting better. Would prefer to stand rather than leaning on the edge of the pew here. I started this message, I think, a couple of weeks ago, and it's really part of a little mini-series on how important it is to understand and to live out this reality that God's truth can set us free. Free from a lot of things that hold us captive, even as Christians. You know, we think we've become Christians, we're set free from the penalty and the power of sin, but not from the presence of sin and its effects. And so even as Christians, we sometimes struggle to experience the kind of freedom, the quality of freedom that Jesus was talking about in the verse that was read for us from John chapter 14, that the truth will set, that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And as was read earlier from another passage in John, when Jesus said, the truth shall set you free. So if you could look at your sermon outlines for today, it'll be a little shorter because we are serving communion. But if you have something to write with to fill in the blanks, that would be terrific. The truth will set you free, part two. Okay, let's just begin with a word of prayer. Let's pray together. Our Father God, thank you for the opportunity to worship and to fellowship. Thank you again for Mother's Day, where we honor all the mothers in our lives and give you thanks and praise for each one, for their love and care, and their devotion. And Father, we want to thank you for your love, and thank you for the freedom that we can experience through faith in Christ. And Father, I pray that you'll just help us now as we look at your word, through the power of your Spirit, that we can all experience greater, more and more of the kind of freedom that Jesus came to give us. So, Father, we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As you see, the first point in your outline, as I mentioned really a couple of weeks ago, Jesus says the truth will set you free, from John chapter 8, verse 32. But that raises the question, what is truth? What is truth? If the truth will set us free, it's essential that we understand exactly what is this truth that Jesus was talking about. First of all, Jesus says, capital A in your outline under point number two, Jesus says that he himself is the truth. In John 14, verse 6, that was read for us just a few moments ago, when he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through me. He's not saying he's one of many ways. He's not saying he's one of many truths, or one of many sources of life. He is the way, the truth, and the only way to the Heavenly Father. Now, that's a hard reality, a hard truth for us to share, especially in our day and age, in our society, where very few are open to the whole notion of absolute truth. Everybody talks about relative truth, or what's true for you may not be true for me. And it's very important that as Christians, if we have the opportunity of sharing this with somebody who is outside the faith, that we not get into debates and arguments with people, that we always show respect for whatever it is they believe. But what we want to share with them is the words of Jesus himself. And so if they want to take issue with what Jesus said, you know, that's between them and Jesus. But we don't want to create any kind of ill feeling because of the way we're communicating the truth of God. We want to convey the truth of God in the love and the grace of God. We do it with respect, never get into arguments with people. But when we share, people just share what Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 6. When we say, here's what Jesus said about himself. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And if they say, well, wow, you know, that seems kind of narrow. You say, well, you know, think about it. Obviously, nobody's has studied every single religion in the entire world. I mean, that would just be impossible. It's so huge body of information. But what I will say this is that most who have done a lot of study would say that most religions can be kind of summarized into the notion that their divine being, whatever they want to call that, the only way to gain acceptance into that heaven or that eternal bliss or whatever is basically by following a list of rules. And so different religions have different rules. But the biblical Christianity is one of the few, if not the only, set of religious beliefs that says none of us can be good enough for God's acceptance to get into heaven. Nobody can be good enough. And that all of us fall short, and because of our sin demanding a payment, God himself sent his only son to make that payment. Now that's something that's kind of unique among all the religions in the world. And if you say, well, okay, so a lot of people believe that Jesus was a real person, they just don't believe he was the Son of God. You say, well, why would God, if there were any other way to get to heaven, any other religious belief, any other system where somebody could somehow get to heaven apart from Jesus, then why would Jesus have to die such a horrible death? I mean, that would become totally irrational and illogical that this great God of the universe would sacrifice his only son if there were some other way. But we understand if we share and somebody's open to hearing the truth from God's word and say, well, God, you know, this was God's only way. God wanted to satisfy both his holiness, his holy demand of the penalty for our sin, as well as his love and grace and mercy. And the only way to satisfy all of God's character and his attributes was by the way that he chose, sacrificing his only son, Jesus Christ. And it's a free gift. It's a free gift that's offered to everybody. It's not a matter of trying to be more righteous than someone else or following some list of rules and regulations. It's a matter of simple faith, to by faith trust in Jesus Christ. Now, those of us who were here and we saw the video that Ryan showed, some of you might be a little surprised. You know, when he says in the video, he trusted in Christ about 2 years ago. I'm not sure when the video was made, but it was during his college years that Ryan came to a clear understanding of his own personal need for Jesus Christ. And some people think, well, I thought he grew up in this church, you know, and sometimes as a pastor, you think, well, yeah, Ryan was here for at least, 7 years when I was pastoring, growing up as a teenager. I would like to think that Ryan heard me share the gospel at least a few times, maybe on Sunday mornings, maybe at our youth meetings. But, you know, you can hear the gospel a million times, and that doesn't make you a Christian. Okay, so some people who grew up in churches that hear the gospel, they know the gospel very well intellectually, but they've never personally trusted in Jesus Christ. And so every pastor I know in evangelical churches like this one, you know, where we preach the Bible and Jesus Christ and the gospel, it's always a great concern of ours that people understand. You can be in church your entire life. You can hear the gospel thousands and thousands of times. That doesn't automatically make you a Christian. It's when you personally put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You trust that Jesus is God's Son. He died for our sin. He rose from the dead. And it really is that simple. And if you're not sure if you've ever personally trusted in Christ, you can do so today, especially before communion. Because we always have a little time of reflection, personal prayer. And for some, that might be the first time you clearly understand what it means to become a Christian and you trust in Jesus Christ. You don't need a fancy prayer. You don't need to walk down the aisle. You don't need to fill out a card. You just need to, in the quietness of your own heart, before God, say, God, whether I'm in church for the first time or for the millionth time, I know it doesn't matter. What matters is I put my trust in Jesus Christ. I trust that He is your Son. He died for my sin. He rose from the dead. That is the gospel. The word gospel simply means good news. The good news is that God has provided not just one of many ways, but the way, the truth, and the life through Jesus Christ. Jesus is the truth Himself. Capital B, it's not only the fact that Jesus is God's living truth, but capital B, God's Word, the Bible, is God's written truth. And so when you talk about the truth of God, you got to have both. Jesus Christ is the living truth of God. The Bible is God's written truth. So you got to have both, the living truth, Jesus, the written truth, which is the Bible. This is what it says in John chapter 17, verse 17. If we could pull that up, thank you. Jesus said, "Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth." Now remember, we've talked about the word of God, the word, word. The word of God is actually the living word, which is Jesus, from John chapter 1. The word became flesh and dwelt among us, referring to Jesus Christ as the word. And the Bible, the scripture, is also the word of God. And so you have the word of God, living, written. You have the truth of God, living, written. And so it's so important to understand this, that what is the truth? What is the truth that will set us free? It is Jesus Christ Himself. It is the written word of God, the Bible. This is why we need both. Some people say, I'm following Jesus, I just don't believe in the Bible. It's like, really? You believe in Jesus, you don't believe in the Bible? You got a major, major disconnect there. You cannot believe in Jesus, the Jesus of the Bible, apart from the Bible. And now there are other people that make a mistake of just worshiping the Bible, and they don't really know Jesus. And it's like, that's just as serious of an error. You got to know Jesus through the Bible. The living word, the written word. Roman numeral number 3 in your outline, the Holy Spirit guides us to know the truth, both the living and written word of God. John chapter 16, verse 13, if you could pull that up, please. This is what Jesus says about the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is yet to come. Now, the Holy Spirit is the third person in the Godhead. We believe in one God. We are monotheistic, one God, but He exists in three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So the fancy term is we are monotheistic, Trinitarian. Monotheistic, one God, Trinitarian, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. If you want a verse in the Bible that really teaches the Trinity very, very clearly, I can't think of a better one than in Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, you don't need to turn there, but Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. Jesus Christ is giving His what's called the Great Commission to His followers. This is after He's been crucified, resurrected, and now He tells them, go into all nations, you know, make disciples. Make disciples by going, baptizing, and teaching. He says, baptizing them in the name, singular. In the Greek, it's very clear. Now, sometimes in English, it's a little vague whether it's singular or plural. But in the Greek, there is no lack of clarity. It is always crystal clear whether it's singular or plural. And in the original Greek, name is singular. Baptize them in the name, singular, and then He gives three names. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So there is no clear teaching in the Bible about monotheistic, one God, Trinitarian, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. No clearer verse that I know of in the Bible. Baptize them not in the names, but in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, and some, you know, are Star Wars fans here. I know another movie's coming out soon or whatever. You know, and I've heard well-meaning Christians think, Is the force that he's talking about, that George Lucas is talking about, is that the Holy Spirit? No, no. Please, I'm a Star Wars fan. I like Star Wars. I like Star Trek. I like all those spacey kind of Trekkie things. But I'll tell you, that particular philosophy, that teaching, or that notion that the force is God's Holy Spirit is absolutely wrong. God, the Holy Spirit is not a force, not some nebulous sort of non-living entity that people utilize for good or evil. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead. And just as much God as God the Father and God the Son. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And it's the Spirit of God that guides us to know better the living truth, Jesus, as well as the written truth, the Bible. And this is why we need to be in close relationship to the Holy Spirit. And I'll talk more about that in the coming weeks. But let's go ahead and transition now as we prepare for communion. And here at CCC, we serve communion once a month, usually the first Sunday of the month. But if different things happen, we may delay it, like today is the second Sunday of the month. But let me just read some verses from 1 Corinthians. And just a reminder again that we believe communion, or the Lord's table, is something that Jesus instituted for his followers as a very significant remembrance of all that Jesus has done for us. And so we believe that the bread and the, I was going to call it punch, but it's juice, excuse me, juice. They represent the body and blood of Jesus Christ that was sacrificed for us. And so what we do here at CCC, when we're ready, just step out of the aisles and come form two lines in the middle aisle. Each line leads to one of the two tables. You can come individually, as couples, as families, as small groups, whatever you feel comfortable with. And just pause for a moment at the table, silent reflection, little moment of prayer. And while you're sitting in your seats, you could also be kind of reflecting on God's grace and God's goodness in our lives. Think of a favorite Bible verse, perhaps, John 3:16. You know, for God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then partake of the elements right here at the table, and then return to your seats using the outer aisles. Okay, let me just read a couple of verses from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Okay, join with me as we pray. Let's pray together. Father God, thank you so much that your truth sets us free, and that your truth is both the living truth, the living word, which is Jesus Christ himself, as well as the written truth, the written word, which is the Bible and the Holy Scriptures. And Father, I pray that each and every one of us here today would have the assurance of a personal faith and trust in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And if we're not sure, that right now, if we're prepared in our hearts before you, we would put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, to trust that he is your Son, he died for our sin, and he rose from the dead. And perhaps this could be the first day that we partake of communion with the remembrance of all that Jesus has done for us. And so, Father, I pray that you would make this a very significant time for each and every one of us, no matter how long we've been Christians, and that we would renew a sense of your love and your grace for us, and that would propel us and compel us to live lives that are honoring and pleasing to you. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.